This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Thank you, Father God, Lord, for a miracle that's taking place all across the globe today. Lord, on Sunday, just everywhere, Father, that men and women and children in different languages and from different tribes and nations are coming together to lift up your name. Lord, that we are part of a miraculous, just beautiful thing that's happening, God, where men can enter into your presence and not be consumed by your holiness, but can stand in front of you because of the blood of Jesus. Thank you that the veil has been torn. Thank you that a way has been made and that we can come boldly, Lord, this morning into your presence. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to be overburdened and overcome by our weaknesses and our sins, Lord, but we can step into that place where we are accepted for who we are, Lord, because we are in you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your Spirit that's beckoning us, God, to just enter into your presence. Lord, to just receive from you the love, the acceptance, the affirmation that our hearts long for. Thank you that your name's name quiets fear. Your name is the name that gives us hope, that gives us confidence, Lord. And we thank you for your presence in our midst. We thank you that here where we are, God, gathered in your name, you are here amongst us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that knows each one of us by name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your presence in our midst. Thank you for your presence, Lord. As we remain in this attitude of worship, if you are a member here with us in this church and the Lord has laid a vision on your heart, maybe just a word of encouragement, and just want to come and share that with us as we remain focused on Jesus and just keep our eyes and our hearts fixed on Him. The Lord is laying a prophetic picture or dream, maybe even a song on your heart. Just come and share that with us as we just continue to worship Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you.
Revelation 21, verse 3 says, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God." And then this wonderful promise, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Eternal life has already started. We just need to accept it.
Thank you, Louis. Anybody else? God, we thank you for the word of encouragement this morning, Lord, that you have come to tabernacle amongst men, that we don't have to build your big buildings, Lord, to get close to you. We don't have to sacrifice, Lord, animals. We don't have to jump through 1,000 hoops, Lord. We don't have to punish ourselves, God. We don't have to fast our way into your heart. But you have come to tabernacle amongst us. You have come to dwell amongst us. We thank you for that miracle, God. The miracle of God amongst us. The miracle of Emmanuel. God living amongst us. Thank you for, as your word came this morning, Lord, for eternal love that is at our disposal for each one of us, and that we can know this morning that we are as close to you this morning, Lord, as we choose to be. And therefore I pray, Lord, that our hearts would remain responsive, that our hearts, Lord, would remain open to you this morning to come and minister to us, Lord, to come and change us, to come and transform us, God. We pray all the glory and all the honor would be to your awesome, beautiful, amazing name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Let me see it. Hallelujah. Thank you, band. Appreciate you. Appreciate you guys. A warm welcome again. I think I missed some of you at the beginning of the service. Thank you so much for being with us this morning, and especially our visitors. If you are joining us here for the very first time, you're most welcome as well. I'm going to hand over to Eugene, share the word around the offering with us.
Morning, good morning, goeiemôre. Môre, dankie.
Yes.
I love you. This week, I prayed about what the Lord wants to share with me as a theme for the week. And the Lord said to me, let's talk about unclear versus uncertain. And both of them seems like you don't know what's going to happen. It's unclear or it's uncertain. But the Lord stirred in my heart to say that there's this distinct difference. And in a simplified form, I just want to read to you the definition of what is uncertain. Uncertain is not able to be relied on, not known or not definite. So that is uncertain. Unclear is it's not easy to see, to hear, or to understand. So I said to the Lord, well, it still doesn't make sense to me. I don't know either of the outcomes. And then the Lord just reaffirmed to me that He is the God of yesterday, the God of today, and the God of tomorrow. And as we sang in some of the songs, we sang about being transformed and renewed. And as Nastasia also testified about awaken, you know, people are being transformed and renewed by being touched by God, by Jesus, by the Holy Spirit. But there's a great comfort in knowing that God is the same as yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Can you imagine how crazy it would be if God changes all the time? How uncertain that would be. And I think we are fortunate that the God is a cornerstone and that He's a rock that we can stand on and be firm. If He was to change every week, I think we would be finished. So a scripture that the Lord placed on my heart on this is I think well known, but to tie into uncertain and unclear is Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence my help comes. My help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you at day, nor by the moon at night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in, from this day forth and even forevermore. And that's very comforting to know that the Lord is that Father that is steadfast. And He's not uncertain. He's a little bit unclear. And I think through our relationship, He reveals bits and pieces to us in our journey with Him. So as a matter of just thanksgiving towards the Lord, I'm going to give opportunity for the ushers to take up the offering. Thanks. We're just going to say prayer. Thank you, Lord, that we can be excited about who you are, that you are never changing, Father God. You are a rock solid Father, mentor, healer, and Savior. Thank you, Lord, that we can be humbled and know that you are in charge, Father God, that there is nothing that is uncertain. Some things may be unclear, Lord, and we simply put our faith out, Lord, that we trust you for the day of tomorrow, and we will not worry and fret and scurry around, Father God. You are steadfast. Pray, Lord, that you would bless the finances, that it may be multiplied in your kingdom and in your local community, Father, and that it may be great testimony of you being a loving, kind Father. Amen.
Thanks, Eugene. They were so illuminating. Just because things are unclear doesn't mean they have to be uncertain. Amen? Yeah. So I think a lot of us can testify to there might be some things in our lives that are unclear, but God is true and sure, and so we don't have to be uncertain about the future just because we don't have all the answers. I love that. Hallelujah. I can go home now. It's a revelation for me. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you so much for that, and a warm welcome once again. It looks like all the kids have left already. If there are still some kids here, we do have the DVD corner just past the bathrooms right up at the top, so you can take your kids there if you want to. Last night, we had the privilege of attending Esther's birthday party, and she forced us to dress up in our old school clothes. So that was an interesting experience. But I think what was so amazing about just going through a period or through a time of just celebrating someone else, it's powerful because we sometimes go through life without celebrating. And Esri is one of those people, she never lets one moment go by without celebrating, without making a party out of something. And it was so encouraging, but the theme really got me thinking a little bit, because obviously you think back to 1993, whatever it was, and like, wow, you know, things have changed. I think I still look more or less the same as I did back then, certainly way the same. But a lot of things have changed as well, you know, and sort of this age, this time period of my life, it's a good time to reflect as well. How far have you come? Where are you going with your life? What are you busy doing? And I've been busy reading this fascinating book called Halfway. Don't know how many of you guys have read the book Halfway by Bob Buffett, I think. Halftime. Yes, by Bob Buffett. And it's about this whole journey of traveling or understanding that success doesn't always equate to significance. And how do you travel from just being successful to living a life that's not just successful, but a life that is significant, a life that adds meaning and value? And I'm going to encourage you, many of you guys on holiday now, some of you might not be, but use the opportunities that you have when things quiet down a little bit to assess, to evaluate, to ask yourself some tough questions as to what has happened since the beginning of the year with those New Year resolutions up to now. What has happened to your plan, your focus for yourself, for your career, your calling, your family, all of those things. And so what I want to do this morning is very quickly to take some time out and just to evaluate a little bit our journey. And so for all of our visitors here this morning, please bear with us. And a warm welcome once again to Steve for joining us this morning. And at the end of the service, we'll finish a little bit early. And I want to encourage you, please remain with us. And Steve will be sharing with us, like I said, some of the prophetic things happening in our government, what the Lord is doing through the church. And then also just some principles that we need to keep in mind as believers when it comes to voting in the upcoming elections. I hope all of you guys are going to vote because our country needs our votes. Amen. And it's the godly thing to do as well. But we know that we are here as a congregation because the Lord has laid it on someone's heart many years ago to travel from a certain place, to leave their work, to pray together with other people and to plant this church. Amen. And we are thankful to those people that formed the integral part in laying the foundation of this congregation. On Friday evening, we had our new visitors with us at home, and we could just chat a little bit about different people's journey. And then it was so amazing to have Jan and Elsie be there, our elders. They have Desiree there and Gustav. And they were part of this church almost before this was a church, when this was still a small group. They traveled through from Stellenbosch, and they prayed, and they trusted God that the Lord will open up a door for this church to be planted here. And I'm thankful that this church is here, amen, that God has laid it on their hearts to pray, to intercede, to break open the ground so that we can be here. And so many of you have played a part in that. And we know that we are here because of a vision that the Lord has placed in the hearts of His people. And we're busy just journeying as a congregation and asking the Lord, the vision that you gave us originally that drives us, that has taken Shofar from being a little student church started in 1990 to being over 60 churches in different parts of the globe, that vision that has to do with reaching nations and generations by making disciples and raising up leaders and planting churches, that vision that has led us to this place, what does that vision look like for us here in Somerset West? And we've been talking around four pillars, and I quickly want to take you guys back to that and take some time out and evaluate a little bit in terms of our journey thus far. And I want to open the floor for some testimonies as well. But the verse that is sort of propelling us into this year, the Lord started to speak to us about last year, is this one in 1 Peter 2, verse 4 to 5, that says, coming to Him, obviously being Jesus, as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You also, that verse says, you also, like living stones. So we know that Jesus is the ultimate living stone. He's the cornerstone. None of us, as we're sitting here, none of us can lay claim to being the cornerstone of this church. This church isn't built upon Heinrich. This church isn't built upon the elders. This church isn't built upon anyone serving here. This church is built upon our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If Jesus isn't the one building the church, then all of us, we labor in vain. All of us can serve. All of us can bring our contribution to the table. But this church does not depend upon me. This church does not depend upon you. All of us are expendable. This church can go on without us. Jesus is the only one the church cannot do without. You can still go on without me being here, but if Jesus isn't here, then we're all in trouble. Amen? And by the way, we don't plan on going anywhere. We are committed to being here. We want our kids to go through primary school and high school here, so you're stuck with us at least for the next 8 to 10 years, okay? But my presence here doesn't determine whether this church is happening or not. The presence of God determines that. If God is in our midst, then we have everything that we need. He's the one building the church, but he's also our example. And Peter says that like Jesus, a living stone who allowed himself to be used by God to shape and mold the church, we also, like Jesus, are living stones. So that means we are different shapes and different sizes. I mean, you just need to look around in this building, and there are different shapes and different sizes in this building. Not one of the stones look the same, but we are living stones. We are flexible. We are pliable. And God wants us to understand that all of us collectively are being built up into a house of the Lord. We're not just a stone lying somewhere in someone's garden. Like I told you, I'm still unearthing yesterday again, working in the garden. There was a piece of cement that guys had just poured cement into my garden around this tree. And we couldn't understand why this tree isn't growing because the ground wasn't ground, it was cement. The water couldn't get in there. But you're not a piece of cement or piece of rock lying around somewhere. You are a living stone. A living stone that is not meant to live in isolation, but a living stone that's meant to be part of something beautiful and part of something amazing. And that's really our heart, guys, for each one of us to find your place. Find your place in this body. Find the place that Jesus has designed for you. And if you are unsure whether this place is the place for you, then pray about it. And trust God to show you. And I pray and I trust that our visitors here coming from other churches, that you have that place. Where you know this is the spot that the Lord Jesus has for me. And if you don't have that spot, ask him. Because God doesn't want us to be isolated. He doesn't want us to be strangers in the house. He wants us to be known by others. He wants us to rub shoulders with others. He wants others to rub off on us. And he wants us to rub off on them. And that's why when we come to a morning like this, it's important to understand that what's inside of you is alive. What is inside of you is more than your degree. It's more than your skin color. It's more than your budget. It's more than your age. What's inside of you is alive. It's irrepressible. It's holy. It's resurrection power. And we owe it to one another to open up our hearts so that God can flow through us. Because we are so much poorer without one another. I'm poorer without your contribution. I'm poorer without your word of encouragement. I'm poorer without your service. I'm poorer without your friendship. We need each other. Living stones that cannot live in isolation. And so the gist of this really is simply to say we want to commit to living and growing as disciples. That's really the gist of it. A living stone is simply someone that says, I want to commit to following Jesus. Not following the pastor, not following the politicians, not following the latest evangelist on YouTube or latest podcast. I'm committed not to be a disciple of a person, but to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to become like Jesus. I want to, in the middle of this year, I'm going to look back on the last 3 months of this year. Not the middle of the year. We're not in the middle yet. It feels like it, right? But now in April, March, I'm going to look back at the beginning of this year, and I'm going to track my growth. And I want to see, have I become more like Jesus? And there are certain areas of my life I can see I've grown. Then there are certain areas where I know I need the grace of the Lord even some more. But are we growing as disciples of the Lord? And one of the ways in which we do that is to understand that discipleship first and foremost starts on the inside. That when Jesus walks into this church and when he looks at this church, he doesn't evaluate us based on our PowerPoints, based upon the sound, based upon what we dress like, based upon the cars that we drive. He evaluates us based on what's going on the inside. Man judges on the outside. God bases the evaluation on what is going on the inside. All right, and so the unseen is a priority. When we talk about living stones, we are talking about the unseen things first and foremost. And this beautiful verse that speaks about this in Isaiah 62, verse 66, verse 2. All these things my hand has made, says the Lord. And so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and who trembles at my word. And we've been speaking to one another about this, the inner bit. That part that nobody else sees, that part that other people can misjudge. And other people, if we look at our country even still, we understand that our country is still so trapped in judging people based upon what they look like, based upon what they drive, based upon where they live, based upon the superficial things on the outside. And God says, those things are not that important to me. It's what is going on the inside that's important to me. I judge and I value the unseen things, God says. And it is my prayer for us as a body of believers, as people of God, to readjust our value systems, the things that we judge to honor people, the things that make us excited about people and about things, and whether we value someone, whether we're excited about someone, whether we honor someone, to have those things be what God values, what God honors. And he says it's the unseen thing, and primarily it is the humility of heart. And so for us as a church, we've even been on this journey of where we've been stripped a little bit of a lot of things on the outside so that God can get to our hearts. Say, show for some of the West, are you walking humbly with me? Is my presence the thing that drives you? Is your love for one another things that excite you? Or is it the programs or is it the fancy things on the outside? And so I want to encourage us to continue to grow, Justin, the next one, please, to be humble, to be teachable, and to always be learning. And I look back at my first 3 months of this year, did I remain humble? Well, I was at a place where I said sorry often and quickly. Am I open to other people who speak into my life? Am I teachable or am I isolated? Do I think I know better than others? Am I always in the place where I'm willing to learn? Am I exposing myself? Am I pushing myself to learn more, to grow as a husband, to grow as a father, to grow as a leader? Because we can never arrive, eh? We can never be at the place where we say, I have arrived. And I want to encourage you to evaluate. Take some stock this year, this week maybe even. Did I grow in my humility? Did I ask for advice? Did I accept advice? Did I ask for forgiveness? Did I extend forgiveness? Did I push myself to learn something else? Because this is the thing, if we don't push the pause button, if we don't take time out, before we know it, June is upon us. Before we know it, December is upon us, and another year has come and it's gone by. And we would have been kept incredibly busy by our circumstances without us evaluating what's going on the inside of our hearts. That's why for Nikki and myself, one of our non-negotiable weeks is just a week where we take off and we go to Pretoria, we go to a mentor couple who can speak into our lives, can slow us down, we can put off the phones and they can speak into our lives. Do you have relationships like that? And then the Lord spoke to us out of a place of humility about being a house of praise and worship. And I want to encourage you guys to continue to grow in this. I'm looking forward to the day when the band will just be facilitators. And the people of God will worship Him. The band will almost be inconsequential. Where our praise and worship doesn't depend upon the band. And God, in Psalm 22, verse 1 to 3, David says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And when we talk about being a house that's filled with praise and with worship, spirit-filled praise and worship, we're not talking about people that are singing songs in an attempt to escape from their reality. We see that David finds himself in a place where he feels forsaken. He feels rejected. He feels downhearted. But then he transitions from that place and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. And by night, but I find no rest. So he wrestles with himself. He wrestles with the uncertainty. He wrestles with the fear. He wrestles with the budget. He wrestles with the broken relationships. He wrestles with those things. But then he transitions into a place of revelation. He says, yet you are holy. And because you are holy, in other words, you are worthy, I will not allow my uncertainties. I will not allow my questions to rob you of your praise. Because he says, in the midst of me not understanding you, this is where I know you live. You live in the praises of your people. You are enthroned on the praises of Israel. And so when we come together like this, we are enthroning God. We are lifting him up over our lives and we are building his throne. There's a pastor who's been instrumental in getting a whole lot of pastors in the Yaldabaoth area together to praise and to pray together on a weekly basis. And that church has been going through a tough time, and one stage the wind blew the roof of the building where they were gathered. And I'm so thankful for the fact that the Lord has grown our band from a place where we were a handful to where we can now, on a monthly basis, the first Sunday of the month, we're sending our band there to go and bless them. So guys, we want to share what the Lord has given us. And that excites me, because we can say the praises that God has given us, we don't just want that to be something that we come together, we have a nice little party. We want to share that with the rest of the body of Christ. And I want to ask you, are you spreading the praise? Are you spreading the praise? Because God has placed inside of you two lungs, vocal cords, and the Spirit of God. Are you spreading the praise of God? Because as you spread the praise of God, you spread the reign of God. As you spread the praise of God, you spread the kingdom of God. And I want to encourage some of us to make a bit of a shift, to not just think about praise and worship as a sing-along. It's not a sing-along. It's not we sing songs to God. It is warfare. It is declaration of God's rule, declaration of God's reign. It is enforcing God's reign. And so where you are confronted with circumstances that are contrary to the kingdom of God, how do you bring those circumstances in line? You praise God. Like David did, God, my emotions don't make sense, but you are holy. I'm going to praise you. I just want to ask Daniil to quickly share with us just the story around her sister and just the role that praise played in them just seeing God doing an incredible miracle in her life.
Amen. About 3 weeks ago on a Thursday morning, I got a call from an ambulance, and they said my sister was in a very serious car accident, and it was a serious head injury, and like family must get there as quick as possible. So we booked up tickets, and everyone started praying. We didn't really, things were unclear at that stage as we drove there, and we had a four-hour drive from the airplane. And as I was driving there, God just said to me, but he's a God that he works and speaks like thunder. It's so powerful and so speedily. And yeah, it's so awesome what you were saying now. As I was driving, I just felt this urge. My mom was with me in the car, and she's not at a place where spiritual stuff, she's not so bold in it yet, but I just felt I should just sing like loudly in my spirit. And as I was singing, God just started saying stuff to me. And then when we got there, it's quite a sight to see her. When I actually walked past her the first time, because she was so swollen. She was in a medical coma at that stage. So swollen, her eye was completely blue. And she just lays there. She's obviously in a coma and full of pipes and everything. And the doctor just said to me, the scans that they did directly after the accident didn't look really good. It was immediately, she had a lot of bleeding on her brain. So they took her to theater for about 3 hours just to get all the blood out of her brain, which was actually fatal, and they could stop that. And they said the injury was on the left side of her brain, so they don't know. In terms of brain damage, there's a very good possibility for long-term brain damage, and we must be aware of all of this. So that evening, I just wrestled. I couldn't sleep, and I just realized that the devil really came with an assignment for her life that day. And then I just started reading through Revelations how the devil is, from then on, he was cast out, and he's on a mission to go against God's people. But the end, the scripture that was read this morning, the end, it says there will be no more pain, no more tears, when we come to God. And so everyone's words were the song that says, raise a hallelujah. It says to praise God in the most difficult circumstances, and there God will come. And another scripture was where, I think it was Paul that was in prison, and they started praising God. And in that moment, the prison doors came open. So we decided when we go in, we're going to praise God and speak God's scripture over her while she's just lying there lifeless. And so that was the first weekend, and in the natural, there was nothing good. But in my spirit, I came back, I was so excited because I knew what God is going to do. And the past the 2 weeks following that, we saw in the natural what God said in our spirits. And I am so amazed I don't know actually what to share, what not, but within the Sunday morning I was here and I just cried to God, and the preacher that came and spoke this morning, that morning he said, the scripture was, if you believe in God, you will see the glory of God. And as I drove out of church, the hospital, they phoned me and said, she came out of the coma, she woke up, and immediately she tried to speak. And she could, as they said to her, Michelle, lift up your right hand, and she could do that, which means that there was probably not brain damage. In that week, she started walking, she started talking, she started eating. Within 2 weeks, the doctor said to me, we must look at 4 to 6 weeks of ICU. Within 2 weeks, she was discharged. She's at home now. She talks, she speaks. She tells me the peace of God that he gave her in that time. She has never felt so much peace in her life, about her future, about not even being married at that stage, not finances. She doesn't gonna have finances for the next 3 months, probably not working. And God has given her peace. Last weekend I was there, the morning we actually just saw, look at her finances, the medical aid, and there was about 24,000 that wasn't paid out at that stage. That afternoon I got a call, people already paid 30,000 rand in to pay all. So I was just so encouraged to praise God loudly, and it's almost the boldness that must come from our spirits to praise God in difficult storms, and then God just comes and fights.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah. The power of praise. Amen. The power of praise. So be encouraged by that, saints, and recognize that the devil would want to keep you quiet. Our victory lies in us speaking life, in us singing life, right? So we believe that God has called us to be a house of passionate praise and worship. It's warfare. It's ushering in the presence of God. We believe that God has called us to be a house of prayer, to pray that this house shall be called a house of prayer. And the verse the Lord gave us, Isaiah 56, verse 7, it says, even them I will bring to my holy mountain, and I will make them joyful in my house of prayer. And their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. And when the Lord started speaking to us about this, we started taking steps to prioritize Mondays, and that's where our pizza and prayer evenings come from. And after work, we grab a pizza, we eat together, we pray together. We're probably going to go into sometimes, from time to time, just fasting on a Monday as well, breaking the fast with a pizza in the evening. So join us for that. But it's been amazing to see just what the Lord does through our praying. I just want to ask Stephen quickly. Stephen shares often with us in the Monday evenings, just to come and share a little bit as to what those evenings have meant to him.
Yeah, Heinrich caught me off guard. He just approached me as I was coming into church to share something. And I thought of that scripture. And I've got my Bible open on that scripture. But the thing I want to focus on is that part where it says, we all know the part where, because Jesus quoted it, he said, my house will be a house of prayer for all nations. But just before that, it says, he will give joy. I just want to share personally that I've experienced God's joy in prayer. That often in my past, prayer has been a difficult thing to do. Well, not a difficult thing, but you have to force yourself. You think, and towards the end of the prayer evening, you start getting tired and you think of what you didn't do at work or what you still need to do when you get home. But I just want to testify that this year, there's been a change in the spirit. There's been a change where, and I believe that joy has come to our prayer. And I believe that joy has come from the place where before we pray, we focus on God and we worship. And we have one or two band members there. And I believe the difference is that we're praying in obedience to God's word. Because when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he said, we must first say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And that's what we do. We worship God first. And we focus on God first. And as Heinrich has shared this morning, we don't focus on our problems. First we exalt God. And I believe that's made a massive difference to my personal prayer life, that during the week you might be feeling depressed, you might be seeing all the news, you might be experiencing all personal challenges. But if we focus on our personal challenges and just ask God to solve our personal challenges, we sort of get stuck there. But I believe that this year, praising God before we pray has made a massive difference. And I just personally, last year, I had a very busy year. I was trying to finish a master's degree part-time, and almost every Friday I would go to work at 5. I work in Cape Town, and then it was very difficult to work at home. So then I'd stay at work, and often I'd come home and my kids were already in bed, and so it was a long year, and I was getting tired, and I said to God, I felt God say to me, I was saying, God, I actually don't want to continue with this. This is too tough. And God said to me, look how dedicated you are to something that's not spiritual. Just getting an extra qualification. And God said to me, if you could show that same commitment to something spiritual, to something meaningful, it would make a big difference in your life. So I feel that we sometimes need to approach things with a bit more commitment, and be strategic and say, I'm going to pray. I'm going to join people and I'm going to pray. So I just encourage you. And then the good news is I'm graduating in April. So, but another thing, when I drive up to Heinrich's house on a Monday, it's almost like there's an excitement because you can feel the spiritual atmosphere is different. You can feel that there are like-minded people that are there to worship God. And we're not there to focus on our problems. Yes, we pray for the country. We pray for our leaders. We pray for our church. We pray for even individual issues in the church. But we're there to focus on God. And I believe that there's almost an excitement when I park outside Heinrich's house. When I walk in there, I know that the Spirit of God is there. And I think it's also great. It's on a Monday that it sets up your whole week. That you have this joy for the week. I'd encourage you to join us and maybe even just make a commitment before leading up to the elections. Maybe just come and say, I'm going to come and pray before the elections. And sometimes you need something physical to motivate you. But let's continue to pray, because I can testify that in my life it's made a massive difference, and it's almost like you get prayer fit. Like, we're very good at getting fit for running a marathon or doing something. You know, we can wake up in the morning and get to work at 5 in the morning. I'm seldom late for work, because you've got that commitment. And let's do the same for God's house of prayer. Amen.
Thanks, Steve. I must catch you by surprise more often. Thank you. That's powerful. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to pray. Time is catching up with us. But I want us to just out of the place of knowing that God is good to us. God has done so much. I mean, there's so many more miracles of breakthroughs in this congregation. We've been talking about just growing as extravagant givers as well, being a house that is based upon extravagant giving. And I want to thank you guys for the way in which you have been giving. It's just been amazing. Our finances we've gone through a bit of a tough time and just exploded. So thank you so much for your giving, guys. It makes a massive difference. We're able to help other people now, and it's incredible. Growing in just our mercy towards one another. So many of you here forgiving each other, forgiving other people. Just incredible to see how we're growing in that. It's been such a blessing to my heart to see how the Lord is growing us. And what I want us to do this morning is, out of a place of thankfulness, to take a couple of minutes and to intercede, right? So specifically for a couple in our church, Cornelius and Sound at the back always, they've been, so Thursday, they got the news that Jean started bleeding, and so she was 27 weeks pregnant, and so the little baby was born on Thursday evening, a little baby girl, and they had to transfer her now to Blouberg. I think it's a medical clinic in Blouberg, Netcare in Blouberg. And so she's going to be there, obviously, for a long time still. And Jean and Cornelius, they're living here in Somerset the West, so you can imagine that is a challenge. But praise God. The amazing thing is God did a miracle for us. Amen. Church family, last year, We had Sumin that gave birth 28 weeks, and little Nielke is beautiful. There's nothing wrong with her. She's growing, and God has done a miracle in our midst already, and He will do it again. Amen. He'll protect that little baby as well. And because we've gone through that whole process with Sumin and her little baby girl, Sumin and Yuan, we are prayer fit. Amen. And we are giving fit. And so there's a food roster for Jean and for Kune. You can chat to Nikki if you want to be on the food roster. We are getting some finances together to organize an au pair for them because somebody needs to look after the other two kids while mommy's having to drive through to Bloberg. And then there is our shofar congregation in Table View that has organized. It's so amazing. One of the members in the church there is a doctor at that hospital. He's got a granny flat at the back of his house. And so when Jean has to go through, she can sleep over there. Isn't that amazing? Just how the Lord provides. But we're going to pray for her. The little baby girl doesn't, we're going to pray for her, for Jean and for Kune, for provision, for peace, and just for health for the little baby. I'm going to pray for Kobe's mom. Kobe's mom fell ill quite suddenly, and Kobe's flying up to join her this afternoon. And then we're going to pray for New Zealand, amen? And we're going to pray for just the tough things that they're going through now. For those of you that don't know, there was that attack on the mosques there, 49 people who died. And the newspaper reports, I read some interesting reports there where some of the guys said, we always thought that we were exempt from the rest of the world, that we were the safe haven, and that what happened in the rest of the world doesn't impact us. We are devastated to find out it's not true. The safest place is in the will of God. Amen? There's no place to hide. You can go anywhere. Darkness is covering the whole earth. The safest place is in the will of God and within prayer. But let's pray for that nation because it's an opportunity for the church to arise as well. So we're going to take the next 5 minutes, and as the word says, that the Lord's house will be called the house of prayer. We are believers here. We're going to pray. So Jean and Corneille, we're going to pray for a little baby girl, for health for her. The Lord protect her. The Lord will protect her against infections and organs that need to develop still, all of those things that need to take place. We pray for Kobe's mom, and we're going to pray for the church in New Zealand. We're going to pray for all of those families that have lost family members, that they turn to the Lord, because the Lord loves the sons of Ishmael. Amen. He loves the Muslim community, and He wants to save them. He wants to reach them. So let's pray for them. So let's turn to one another, and let's pray together. Thank you, Father. We're going to take one more minute. Just one more minute to wrap up. Pray for the church in New Zealand, Lord, Your people. We pray, God, that You will stir their hearts, Lord, with a great awakening, God, in prayer. Strengthen them, Lord. We know there's so many godly men and women, Lord, in that nation. We pray that You will help them, give them wisdom, Lord. Lord, and that You will send laborers into the harvest field, Father, of the many, many refugees, many people that are coming, Lord, from Muslim nations to New Zealand. Lord, and that they will come there to meet with You, Lord. That, Father, in Jesus' name, and even out of this pain, out of this heartache, Lord, that You will bring about glory to Your name, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father, as we pray for Your church all across the globe, Lord, Father, to just have a heart, Lord, turn to You, Father, away from our complacency, away from the things that can be so overwhelming to ourselves, so we can look to the harvest field, Lord, in Jesus' name, Father. Thank You for everything that You are doing in our midst, Lord. I'm just reminded of a conversation I had this week, Lord, of a couple here with us in church, a couple of guys who starting out a business, and they needed funding, and funding came from government, Lord. And in this time when white males don't get work and certainly don't get funding, You provided for them, Lord. And we thank You that you are doing impossible things, God. We thank You, Lord. We don't have to be in prison to our circumstances, God, that You are for us. You are with us. You're the God of the impossible. We put our faith in You. We can be a supernatural community. But we also thank You for opportunities we have to make a difference practically, Lord. And we pray that streams of justice would flow, Lord God, from us. That our worship not just be in song, our devotion not just be in prayer, but let it be in action as well, Father. In the name of Jesus, let Your kingdom come, Lord, in us and through us. Father, in the Yaldabaoth and through our nation, into our beautiful continent and into the world, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're going to take a five minute break. You guys want to grab a cup of coffee? You're welcome to do that. Thank you so much for joining us. Please join us again. We're going to start this within 5 minutes' time and give Steve an opportunity to share with us. You guys are most welcome to maybe even to move closer. We've got the space here in the middle. Please move a little bit closer so we can have a nice intimate opportunity just to share with one another. Lord bless you. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.